I'm interested in Acts 27. I preached several messages out of Acts 27. The Lord used this chapter in our church and in my life some probably a year or more ago. We preached a number of messages out of Acts 27 and spoke to my heart and strengthened my faith. And I trust that it did you as well. And during that process, during that time, the Lord spoke to my heart about this message, and I've not yet preached it here. But we're going to begin at least this morning as the Lord will help us to do so. In Acts 27, now we know the book of Acts is a book of that covers about a 30-year period of time. It covers a transitional period, a transition going from when the focus was toward the Jew and Israel, and now the focus is starting to go toward the church and making that turn. And don't always, listen, you're going to be confused with your doctrine if you say that the church is Israel or the church is spiritual Israel. If you take verses that are clearly to Israel and apply them to the church, you can't help but come up with false doctrine and false teaching. Amen. And that's where a lot of that comes from. And I could run a few rabbits right there, but I'm not going to. But Acts 27, Paul is identifying and telling about one of the greatest storms in his life. Now, last Sunday, we preached about dealing with a storm. We preached about getting over, going over. When Jesus said, let us go over unto the other side. And everything was well and good initially to start with. And then before long, a storm comes and the waves begin to beat into the ship. And the next thing you know, those that were once excited and filled with enjoyment of being aboard the ship, going to the other side with the Savior, is now waking him up and really accusing him by saying, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They had gotten over going over. They'd got over that enjoyment. They'd got over that anticipation, that excitement. And that's what happens when the storm gets bigger than the Savior. That's what happens when waves get bigger than worship. That's what happens, my friend, when you and what's going on with you is more important than what's going on with the Lord. And we're all prone to that. We all do that from time to time. But Acts 27, Paul, aboard the ship of 276 men, and all of them lost but one, and that was the Apostle Paul. Paul was put in an awful situation, an awful circumstance for the purpose of evangelism. God is the God of providence, and He can direct you and guide you in your life, and a lot of that is completely unknown to you of what God is doing, but He might be placing you in the lives or in the path of others that need the gospel. Amen. That need the gospel. And we ought to be conscious of that everywhere we go. And Paul, my friend, let's just begin reading in verse number 9. And when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing, you better watch living by supposition. You better live by leadership. Circumstances are not leadership. I wish I could have learned that a long time ago. It would have saved me a lot of worry. Circumstances is not leadership. Just because the south wind blows softly doesn't mean it's time for you to make a move. Are you listening? You better live off of leadership. Allow the leadership of God and His Spirit and His Word to direct your path. Amen. And here, even God's man was preaching and telling them, don't sail. Don't sail. I perceive. See, he wasn't living by supposition, supposing. He was living by perception. He had perceived. He sensed it in his spirit. He knew something of what was going on. It wasn't what he could see. It looked like a great day for sailing. And what the way that reads here, looked like a great day for sailing. Looked like a great day. But the man of God knew something that they didn't, saw something they couldn't see, and he delivered the message to them, but they wouldn't listen. But when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. I'd say while they was repairing the boat, I bet one of them looked over the other and said, you know what? We should have listened to the man of God. We should have listened to the preacher. We should have allowed leadership to have been more of an influence in our life. We wouldn't have been having this to deal with. Verse number 17, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, struck sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with all our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. And then, of course, the story goes on, dealing with the storm. And I want you to look down. We'll look down in verse 40. Look at verse 40. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, he's now an important man. He's now someone that they said we should listen to. He said, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out. Verse 43, but the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first in the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning. I want to thank You, Lord, for Your good grace, Your good Word. Thank You for the good Holy Ghost that lives within us. I thank You for including us in Your plans. Thank You, Lord, for including us, Lord, in Your future. Lord, I thank You today for, God, what You're going to do. I pray You'll speak to my heart. But Lord, bring to my attention, dear God, things that I need to say. Lord, make it fresh in our hearts together as we wait before You this morning. Lord, I pray You will deal with our hearts as the Spirit of God is so capable and so able to do this morning. May our lives never be the same. May we be challenged from the Word of God this morning, and we'll give You thanks and praise for it. For we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, my Savior, I pray. Save sinners, Lord, this morning. Stir the saints of God, those that are cold and indifferent. I pray that You, Lord, will deal with them this morning in a mighty way. Do, Lord, what needs to be done. I cannot do the work of the Holy Spirit. I cannot. But I present myself here this morning, available, Lord, for You to use me as Your vessel, to use me as a mouthpiece. Speak to me, speak through me, for Your honor and for Your glory, and we'll give You the thanks for it. We'll ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now there are two words that caught my attention as we read through here, and I've got them highlighted and circled and underlined, and they caught my attention, and I'd like to just read some of those, if I may. First of all, the first one would be found in verse number 10. The word is damage. The word damage in this verse is the same word that is used when it's in other places in this chapter when it talks about loss. Loss. So let's look down in verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence. Notice the word loosing. You see it. Verse number 19. And the third day we cast out with our hands the tackling of the ship. Verse 21, but after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. Notice in verse number 21, the two words that caught my attention are in the same verse, and the word is loosed and the word loss. Loose. And lost. So you find a lot down through here talking about being loose. Even over in verse number 40, the Bible said there they'd loosed the rudder bands. So they got in a storm, and guess what they began to do? They started getting loose. A lot of people think that's how you deal with storms of life, is just get loose, start loosing things. But Paul shows us in this passage, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that loosing is not the way to deal with storms. Loosing and losing goes together. You can't get loose without losing. Paul said there, if you had listened to me, you wouldn't have lost. If you hadn't got loose, you wouldn't have experienced this loss. That's what Paul said. And I want to preach, if the Lord will help me, on losing through looseness. Losing through looseness. Now I know the subject that I'm preaching on this morning is not least bit interesting to most people that names the name of Christ. Amen. In fact, if you're not loose, you're a Pharisee, or you're a legalist, or some other titles and terms that might surface. But I remind you that this passage reveals to us a principle that can be seen all the way from Adam and Eve throughout the Scripture time and again, where people got loose and they experienced loss. Adam and Eve did. They got loose with the standards. They got loose with the Scripture. And boy, look what it cost them. In fact, look what it's still costing us. Are you listening? I mean, you think about David. David got loose. David got loose with his sight, what he looked at. Thinking, well, it don't make no difference. But you see what happened. He got loose with his sight, and it gave way to looseness. Or lostness. He lost some things. Don't you think, my friend, he was reminded that looseness is attached to losing is attached to looseness when he was holding that dead baby in his hands? Knowing that that was the byproduct of his sin. Don't you think that he thought, well, if I'd have never got loose, I would not have this loss? Amen. I thought about Samson. He got loose. He got loose, and guess what? The end report of his life was described as loss. He lost his sight. He lost his strength. He lost his testimony. And eventually even lost his life. The prodigal in Luke 15, he got loose. He wanted to get away from the Father's house. No doubt he wanted an act of rebellion, an act of desire to go to a far country and experience what the far country would have to give. And my friend there, he gave testimony, my friend, that he left out with the portion that was coming to him. But when he got in the far country, he was stripped. And he come to the place where he had nothing. And he was actually barefoot in a hog pen feeding the swine. His looseness was what gave way to him losing. I thought about Naomi and Abimelech. They left the house of God, the will of God. They left Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab. Moab's always been an enemy of God. Moab has always been a type of the world. And here Abimelech and Naomi, my friend, led their children and led their family and went away from the place of God's will for their life just because there was a famine. They weren't living by faith. They was controlled by a famine. And they went down to the world, and guess what happened? They buried Milion and Chilion. They buried Abimelech. Naomi came back, and she gave testimony. I went out full, and I've been brought home again empty. You know what she learned even in the Old Testament? The principle that's in our text, that looseness is attached to losing. You get loose, and I promise you, you will give a commentary of your life of losing things. Are you listening? No doubt about it, over and over again you find that Eli the priest got loose with his ministry and his own two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. My friend was wicked and ungodly even in the house of God. He got, my friend, loose. Got loose with his children. And my friend, guess what the end result was? He lost his children and the kingdom lost the glory as the Philistines had stolen away the ark and brought word to him that the ark had been stolen and Hophni and Phinehas had been killed and Eli the priest fell off of where he was sitting and broke his neck and died. Yes, one more illustration reveals to us that losing, you lose through looseness. You lose through looseness. And that was just to name a few. There's illustration on top of illustrations throughout the Scripture. My friend, where they got loose and they started losing. You find that with the children of Israel. Patterned them through their life with the Lord. Every time they'd get away from God, they'd start getting loose. A good example of that is in Exodus 32, when Moses was on the mountain getting a word from God. And they got tired of waiting as he was up there for 40 days with God. And they began to declare, Aaron did, to build a calf, build us a golden calf. And they'd got loose there. They'd got loose with God. They got loose with morals. They got loose in every way. And my friend, they had done everything there that could be, just about could be thought of. But it all came through looseness. And the penalty of that was they lost. Many of them went down into the pit with their shoes on. You can't get loose. Now I know that's the appeal today. I know that's the pressure today on you as a family. We're living in a loose world and you know it. We're living in a world that encourages looseness, loose living, loose morals. Be loose with your mind. Be loose with your mouth. Be loose with your habits. Be loose with your friends. Be loose in every way that you know. And they think, well, that's the thing. And then if you're a Christian, or if you belong to a church that preaches against loose living, then all of a sudden you're the oddball. And all of a sudden you're the name and the product or the sound that's coming across the web and the internet, and we're getting slammed from this direction and another. And someone said that we were a cult even. How are you like that? Said we were even a cult, and I thought to myself, one of the features of a cult is that everybody in the cult does what the leader says. I said, we can't be a cult because a lot of our church don't do what I preach. How could we be a cult when a great portion of what I preach never gets practiced? That knocks that in the head right off the bat. Amen. Are you listening? But there's a lot said in this passage about looseness. And there's also a lot said about losing. Losing through looseness. And I'd rather be too tight as to be too loose. I'd rather for somebody to say, Brother Rackley's holding a little bit too tight, than for somebody to stand up and say, Brother Rackley's gotten loose in these last days. Brother Rackley don't preach against nothing. Brother Rackley don't stand against nothing. Brother Rackley's just, you know, he's kind of catering to the crowd. He's gotten loose. I want to tell you, I'd rather die for somebody than that to be said about me. I believe one of the worst shameful comments you could ever say about me is that I'm a liberal. You might as well cut my heart out and throw it in the ground and stomp on it as to call me a liberal. I try to avoid even any remote reflection of a liberal. Amen. Jesus wasn't a liberal. I'm not a liberal. I'm a follower of Christ. Jesus preached against sin. Jesus loved sinners. Jesus preached against sin. Stood against sin. Jesus never dipped His colors. Jesus came as a holy one. He lived as a holy one. He died as a holy one. And still yet today is holy. I want to tell you, I'm glad to be identified with Him. Amen. Amen. Someone called me, and they were kidding, of course. They was aggravating me a little bit. And they said, Preach, you need to take that off the church sign, and you need to put up an apology to the public. And, of course, they were kidding. I said, I'd rather die first. And I wasn't kidding. Amen. I'd rather die first. Tiptoe through the tulips. My friend, let this bunch of loose-living liberals put the pressure on us. Praise God, just shout the victory. Great, when they cast your name out as evil, Jesus said, great is your reward. I wanted to get on there, I've not, and I probably won't, but I'd like to get on there and post a report and say, thank you, thank you. You've piled up my rewards. I'm going to get to enjoy forever. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't go out in town with all this mess. I don't go out in town my head hung low. I don't go out in town with my identity disguised, because I know the truth will stand when the world is on fire. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't want to get on that, but I want to tell you, friend, I'd rather die by the grace of God. I'd rather die than to get loose. A lot of my preacher brethren have gotten loose. Churches have gotten loose. Because that's the appeal. That's the main cry of today, is loose preaching, loose living. Amen, that's right. Many churches today are built on looseness. Are you listening? Brother Aaron Henson preached our youth revival, and his brother-in-law got tragically killed in a car wreck, and the revival somewhat broke out in the boy's grandfather's church. And they had like 200 or 300 young people. They had to open the windows, and they were out in the yard and standing all inside the building, and God was moving, and it outgrew that building, and the grandpa of that man, which would be the grandpa of Brother Aaron's wife, wanted Brother Aaron to come and preach. Well, in the meantime, the meeting got so big they had to move it from the grandpa's church to the big church. Mistake, big time mistake. Moved that meeting to the, and I'm talking about over 400, Brother Aaron told me, over 400 teenagers. And they called him downstairs, that liberal. I can't even think of vocabulary to describe him. That liberal preacher called that man of God downstairs and tried to get him to agree that he would preach a non-offensive gospel. That he wouldn't say nothing about sin. And he wouldn't agree to it. He said, "Preacher," he said, "it was the most grieved mess I've ever been in my life." He said, "it was pathetic. They had the dancers and they had all of this mess going on. And he said, it was so grieved, it was pitiful. He said, I was so grieved, I couldn't even preach." You know, Brother Aaron moves around everywhere. He said, "I never even left out behind the pulpit." And he said, "I'd try to preach." And he said, "I'd try." And he said, I'm talking about a Baptist church in Franklin, North Carolina, the big one. He said, "I'm preaching about the blood of Jesus, just a basic gospel message that it requires, that the blood of Jesus is necessary, my friend, for salvation." And he even asked them, "How many in here believes it takes the blood?" And he said, "There was a very few hands that went up. Very few hands that went up." He said, in fact, some of them stood up, and, you know, in a gesture, stood up and folded their arms and stood up where they were at and looked at him and shook their head. That is looseness. Large church, busting out the seams, and the commentary of the religious world would look to be successful. But it is loose from one end to the other. Amen. You know good and well it's time to call for the men in white coats for Brother Rackley. If I ever ask a man to come and preach in this pulpit, my friend and I tell him, "Now look, we've got this religion here, and we've got that religion here, we've got this denomination, we've got several denominations in our congregation. Now you make sure that you don't mention nothing that'll be offensive. Just go ahead and give me my walking papers." Said, "Brother Rackley, you are F-I-R-E-D, you're fired." That's right, amen, you're fired. If you ever get loose, you're fired. Amen, that's the way it ought to be. Amen, that's right. But most churches are built on and with looseness. Most people that's looking for a church are not looking for a church that preaches anything, that practices anything. They're looking for a church that's loose. Are you listening? I know good and well that's the truth. I've been here 18 years. I've been preaching almost 30 years. I'm telling you, dear friend, that that's what most people are looking for. Amen. Amen. And amen. And amen some more. Amen. The word loose means to take with one, to guide or to direct. What a definition for the word loosed. That is, the devil directs people through looseness. Are you listening? There's a lot that we could say about the very concept as revealed in this passage of Scripture. But let me mention these two or three things here as by way of introduction, and this is probably about all I'll get this morning. But the first thing I want to share, and you can write it down. Number one, do not confuse looseness with liberty. Please write that down, at least in your mind. A lot of people think that I've got liberty to be loose. They define their loose living by liberty. But I remind you what Paul said to the Galatian believers who was using that mentality of liberty for looseness. Here's what Paul said in Galatians 5 in verse 13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." That's what Paul said. Don't use your liberty for an occasion of the flesh. And looseness is a theme the flesh loves. The flesh loves to live where there's no restraints, where there's no do's and don'ts, and where there's no rules. Amen. 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 The spiritual doesn't need a set of rules. You don't have to tell a spiritual man or woman, boy or girl, don't do this and don't do that. They need not a rule. And the fact the one bearing the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, it says, against such there is no law. You don't need a police officer when people are living under the inspiration and influence of the Holy Spirit. You don't need prisons and jails when people are governed by, my friend, the Spirit of God. Oh, I want to tell you, the jailhouse is for people that refuses to walk in the Spirit. Amen. I said, we don't have rules and regulations at this church for the spiritual. They don't need it. Any rules or regulations or codes or anything else that we might have is for the carnal. That's right. Amen. Listen to what Peter said on the same subject of don't confusing your looseness with liberty. 1 Peter 2 and verse 16. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. So I hope you wrote that down so you can tell people that there's a big difference between looseness and liberty. I have liberty to live right. My liberty is not liberty to sin. I have liberty in Christ, but that liberty does not allow me to go and steal. That liberty does not allow me to go and kill. That liberty does not allow me to cuss and drink and fornicate. Amen. And get involved in all kinds of immorality and sin. No, my liberty is that I am no longer under the bondage of sin. I'm no longer under the condemnation of sin. And I've got liberty. I've got freedom to serve God and to live for Jesus. So don't confuse looseness with liberty. Many will claim that if you're living right, you're law living. How many times have I been called a legalist? I said, if I'm a legalist, please tell me what it is. And you know what I found? Most of them don't even know what it is. But they know I'm one of them. Amen? So I help them with it. A Bible definition and a Bible example of what a legalist is what those did in Acts 15 when they said, you've got to be circumcised and keep the law in order to be saved. That's a legalist. Amen. I've been preaching here 18 years. We've got people here that's been with me a long time. Have you ever heard me preach a works-based salvation? It's amazing, isn't it? That folks has never been here, never heard me preach one message, says that I preach a works-based salvation. I preach a works-produced salvation. We're not saved by works, but we are saved to work, and I don't work to be saved. I work because I am saved. Amen. Works is the product of salvation. It doesn't produce it, but it is the product of it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. But don't confuse your looseness with liberty. Amen. Someone said, if I'm a legalist, then I said, if I'm a legalist, you must be an illegalist. If I'm trying to live right and want to live right and have a desire to live right and please God and honor God, amen, and try to do that, not perfect by any means. You don't have to look hard to find faults and flaws, amen, in my life. I admit that. Be the first to confess that. I know that shot down some of that has been said, that I live a life that I never apologize. I never have to apologize to nobody. That a bunch of bull. Bunch of hooey, amen. Whatever hooey is. But not to confuse looseness with liberty. I'm not a Pharisee. I'm not a Pharisee. A Pharisee lived clean and religious to impress man. A Christian lives right to please God. A Pharisee lives by codes of do's and don'ts and can'ts. But Christian lives by desires and follows Christ. Pharisees are law-driven. Christians are love-driven. Pharisees, my friend, live to please men. Christians live to please God. So don't confuse, number one, don't confuse looseness with liberty. Number two, you ready? Write this one down. Don't confuse grace living with living worldly. Don't confuse grace living. Oh, I'm not under the law, preacher. I'm under grace. Say amen. You sounded like me, praise God. That's good. I like it. Are you listening? I'm talking about don't confuse grace living with living worldly. When you deal with people about their sin and lack of separation, come on, RBT. Everybody goes to church here ain't sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? And I want to tell you, worldly living is just that. It's world-like living. World-honoring living. It's not grace living. In fact, if you want to know what grace living is, how many wants to know what grace living is? I want to tell you, that crowd that might be going to listen to this when it gets posted, if they can stand it and actually tell the truth about what they've heard, it's easy to identify a liberal because they're liars. Amen. Those that can't stand, those that will take up for sin will lie on you. Hallelujah. Y'all want to know what grace living is? There's about four of you said amen. Well, we're fixing to get it anyway. We're fixing to get it anyway as soon as I can get right here to Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Here comes grace living. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's what the Bible says. But the world's concept and most church people's concept, I'm not under the law, preacher. I'm under grace, so therefore grace living is loose living. Don't ever mistake grace living for living worldly. Amen, amen. That needs to be preached everywhere. I know that some that used to live clean and pure and holy, inwardly and outwardly, holding a standard of separation from the world, which is a Bible concept, a Bible doctrine. I've had people try to correct me on our stand of separation from the world. And I say, alright, if I'm wrong, what's your view on it? What is your concept on it? What does the Bible say about separation? And I've yet, at 49 years old, had one to respond. They know I'm wrong, but they don't have a clue what it really is. Hello? But anyway, that's all right. But that crowd that used to live right, my friend, all of a sudden, they got a false concept of grace. I seen one picture on the Facebook not long ago that used to, I'm talking, hammer it tight and live it tight and straight. And my friend pastoring a so-called liberal mess in another state. And my friend, he's out there baptizing supposedly new converts. He's out there, my friend, in sleeveless shirt and shorts baptizing believers. And his whole support for all of that and much more of taking his young people and going to Christian rock concerts is under the concept of grace living. Grace living, friend, is the same kind of life that Jesus lived. Well, amen. No one was or is stronger than the Apostle Paul about grace. But yet His epistles are filled with practical purity and practical righteousness and calling the church to holiness and sanctification. You need, you ought to get Brother Silas after the service and ask him what those two witches or those that were involved in the Wicca movement, what they thought about back when the church was trying to, was it the Druids? Trying to win the Druids or trying to whatever, and they tried to be like them.
Right. Right.
So the Catholic Church tried to bring in an All Saints Day and match it in with their wicked practice. Are you listening? You don't win them by being like them. Are you listening? God does not ask of us to be the largest church in Rogersville. God wants us to be a loyal church. God wants us to be a church, my friend, that, listen, does not live by the praises of men, by the applaud of men, approval of men. My friend, we're not interested in the hand clap of the religious community. We are interested in the smile of God. We're interested at one day, my friend, facing the one that saved us and called all of us into His family. Him one day, Him smile at us and say, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant." That's what I want. That's what I want. Amen. That's what I want. I want His approval. I want Him to be pleased with me. Grace living. Don't mistake grace living with worldly living. In fact, the true meaning and the true of grace is that grace produces godliness, not worldliness. Amen. A third thing, write this down and I'll be done. By way of introduction, not only don't confuse looseness with liberty, loose living with liberty. Don't confuse grace living with worldly living. Don't confuse looseness with love. How many people that don't even know me thinks that I'm a preacher of hate? I promise you that's 100 miles from the truth. I love people, my friend, but I will never compromise. Compromise is never the will of God. Never the will of God. Write it down. It is never the will of God. Compromise is never right. Never right. You say, but well, we'll be offended. They'll be offended. Well, I can't help it. My job is to preach the truth, practice the truth, have love in my heart, have the right attitude in my heart, my friend, and trust God to do the work. Amen. But don't put looseness under the umbrella of love. True love is not loose. A man that's loose with his wife doesn't love her. Come on in the house now. I love my wife, and that love, Brother Craig, for my wife, my friend, keeps me loyal to my wife. True love is not loose. True love is loyal. True love can be counted on. Amen. But how many people, my friend, have put loose living under the umbrella of love? We've got to love. It is quiet, amen? That's right. A preacher that will not preach against sin does not love his people. He is a hireling. He is a liberal and should be fired the next business meeting. Amen. That's fine. I don't care. It don't matter. It's the truth. It'll stand. I like what Brother Mark brought out in his Sunday school teaching some time back about indifference is not tolerance. Or indifference to tolerance is not love. Nor is involvement hate. That means letting people do as they please is not love, or getting involved and saying no, that's wrong, is not hate. Amen. So we noted three simple truths, and we're going to get in this text. I'm not preaching out in left field. I'm right. I'm going to get every one of my points, every one of the thoughts right out of this chapter when we deal with the main part of the message on losing through looseness. But those three things that I shared with you by way of introduction, the Lord gave those to me in meditation. I didn't get those out of a book. I got them from God. About the loose living and liberty, and about, my friend, grace living and worldly living, and loose living under the umbrella of love. Loose living has nothing to do with love of the Savior. It has all to do with love of self and love of sin. That's what loose living is. Everybody that's attached to looseness and loves looseness and walks in looseness, my friend, they love the pleasures and the popularity that they're getting from it. Now, are those things you're supposed to live for? Pleasures? Pleasures of sin? Pleasures of the flesh? Is that what we're supposed to live for as Christians? That's what sinners live for. It's as normal, my friend, for a sinner to be loose as it is for a dog to bark. But I'm going to tell you, when a sinner gets saved by the grace of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, my friend, God puts His new nature inside you. My friend, you'll start loving what He loves. You'll start, my friend, liking what He likes, hating what He hates. It'll make a difference in your life. It'll change you. Losing through looseness. Amen. So, and I know this church don't, but I'm just going to say it anyway. But if this church ever gets a place where it wants it loose, just tell me. Because I will not waste my time with it. Are you listening? Because this old boy, by the grace of God, Brother Mark, I say that by the grace of God, am not the least bit interested of being loose. In fact, I'm more determined. When people lambast the church that I love and have given myself to for 18 years, lambast the church and lambast me for standing and preaching right, it makes me more determined never to change. I'm going to live for God. Sink or swim. Amen. And I'm going to do it in the right attitude. We're not going to be a bunch of hateful people that, my friend, if you don't line up with me, I'm going to hate you. That has never been my practice. There's people in this church who don't practice everything I preach, but I don't break fellowship with you over it. There's not a person in this building that would stand up and say, Preacher Rackley, because of habits I've got or because things I do or don't do, that he won't even talk to me. There's never been a person in this building ever say that. Never. Amen? But I'm going to preach it to you anyway. Whether you practice or not, I'm going to preach it anyhow. I'm going to preach it anyway. Amen? It's my obligation to the Scripture. I'm talking about things that's in the Scripture. It's my obligation, Brother Darrell, to preach it, and by the grace of God, I'm going to. And not everybody's wanting that, but there's a few, my friend, they're getting sick and tired of liberal, tiptoe through the tulip preachers. They're sick of it. Losing through looseness. If you don't think that you will lose through looseness, you give me one example that hasn't. Give me one example in the church or out of the church that where they got loose themselves, loose with their marriage, loose with their children, and show me if there wasn't a big price tag on it. Are you listening? I mean, I could give you examples, personal examples. I could give you examples of preachers that I know personally, my friend, that got loose and even left the church. In fact, one I got this last night. Not even knowing I was really for sure preaching this morning. The preacher over at Little Ivy told me that there was a family in his church that wanted it loose, didn't want it tight. He had to deal with their daughter, dealt with it right. She needed to be dealt with. The parents sided with the daughter. They left the church, and it wasn't long. My friend, the wife left the husband, my friend, the daughter, just a mess. I'm talking about a complete wreck. I don't rejoice in that. I stood right here one day during the week. I met a fellow here, a preacher, my friend, and he told me about somebody that used to go to church here that hurt me bad. I mean, hurt me to the beyond the bone. And I asked this individual about that family. I said, how are they doing? He said, preacher, they're not even in church. And God knows I'm telling the truth. Before God, I tell you the truth. I stood right over there and tears run down my face as I looked at that brother and I said, I do not rejoice in that. I said, I remember when they got saved. I remember baptizing them. I don't rejoice when my brother falls. But looseness, if it ever gets in your life, if it ever gets in your home, it will bring loss with it. You're to hate looseness. You're to avoid looseness. And my preaching, if I could summarize it, my preaching is to try to lead you away from loose living, looseness, into godliness. And living for Jesus. That's in summary what I preach. Try to get you in a place where you're living for Jesus. That's my ultimate goal. Is just to get you where you're on your own. Not having to be told what to do and what not to do. I'm talking about on your own. Standing on your own two feet. Making spiritual choices in your life publicly and privately. That I'm going to do that which honors the Lord. That's my desire. That is my heart. To see your home honoring the Lord. To see you young girls purposing in your heart, and you young boys likewise, purposing in your heart that you're going to be pure and clean and live for God. You that are saved. It grieves me. I make no bones about it, friend. It grieves me when I preach against sin. And I know that people practice it. I'm not talking about preferences. I'm talking about sin. I mean, it grieves me, friend, when I preach against wicked music. And it's listed on your Facebook page as one of your favorite AC/DC favorite groups, along with Aerosmith and some of the other rot. You hear me and hear me well, and I'm not stuttering. I will preach against that till I die. I have got an email myself where I personally sent AC/DC an email as God led my heart to do so. And they sent it back a reply and calling Jesus, my Savior, a pothead. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to step out and be real bold right here. If you love that crowd, love that type, I doubt seriously you're saved. How could you be saved? How could anybody be saved and love people that hates Jesus? Now you tell me that. But I'm going to preach against it as long as I've got breath. I'm not up for hire. The church made a bunch of signs up a long time ago, not for sale. Our preacher is not for sale, and I'm still not for sale. And I'm not trying to be boastful or trying to come across strong. I'm just telling you the truth. That's the way it is. I've got conviction in my heart. I know what's right and wrong, and I'm not going to compromise it. I'm not going to compromise it. Are you listening? Looseness is not the way to build a church. Oh, you can build a crowd. You know, we could get some of the big name entertainers in. We could have standing room only and have the police to direct traffic. We could do that. Is that how you build a church? I heard my friend, an independent Baptist preacher, say the other day that preaching will not build a church now. Can you believe such ignorance? Preaching will not build a church. Got to have entertainment. Got to bring in entertainment. And the same man heard me preach in a meeting last week and wants me to come and preach a revival for him. I said, what? You don't want preaching? Your church don't want to be built on preaching and you want me to come? I promise you, I'm going to preach. A lot of what I preach out, majority of what I preach out, I preach it here. Looseness and losing goes together. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention tonight, for this morning. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that just what we have been able to look into this text of Scripture and look into some examples in the Scripture, just what we could see, I trust that we could already see that principle. It's all through the Scripture. It's so evident. It's so revealed that looseness and losing goes together. And dear Lord, I pray that these young people will see that. They say, oh, well, preacher, it won't happen to me. Lord, it will. They can't handle the flesh. They can't handle the flesh. Neither can I handle the flesh. And dear Lord, if I get loose, my life will be filled with loss. There's no doubt about it. My life will be filled with regret. My life will be filled with misery. But Lord, by Your grace, I want to be a standard, an example, in action, in attitude. Dear Lord, I want to be an example of a Christian. Lord, I fall short of that so much. But I pray You help me. Lord, I don't want to, and I'm not, by Your grace, going to get in some mudslinging competition. Dear God, I'm just going to go on, stay focused. Try to win people to God. Try to preach to those that are saved. Try to give them instruction from the Word of God on what the Bible expects out of a born-again believer. And I pray You'll help these young ladies, young girls in here today, that they'll make a dedicated decision today that I'm going to refuse and refute looseness. I'm not going to have loose music. I'm not going to be loose in my morals. I'm not going to be loose with my mouth. I'm not going to be loose with my mind. I want to live for God. I want to live for Jesus. Lord, there's been young people that have sat on these pews over the years since I've been here. There's been people sitting on these pews that chose looseness. I've seen marriages fall apart when the wife or the husband made the deliberate choice to be loose with their marriage vows and be loose and not listen to the preaching that You sent to them, and their life is a wreck. Young people, as I'm praying even now, I'm thinking of young people by name that once sat on these pews and once sat in our Sunday school class that has been in prison for years. How sad. I've preached to try to keep that from happening. To try to keep looseness from creeping in and that individual or family experiencing loss. And Lord, many of them goes on anyway. And Lord, I'm concerned, greatly concerned about some of our church and some of the direction that seemingly they're going in and choosing. I'm asking You, dear Lord, I'm asking You, please, please, please help them. I don't want their life to be filled with loss. I don't want them to give me a call one day and say, preacher, I wished I'd have listened. Preacher, I wished I'd have listened. You tried to help us with it. You tried to preach it to us. But I wouldn't listen. I'd done my thing and made my own choices. And oh, preacher, I've lost this and this and this and this. God, help us, our Father. There may be some homes that are in danger. because of looseness. God help us. If we get loose, it's just going to open the door and give opportunity for the devil and the flesh and the world to creep in. God, speak into my heart and use me, God, I pray, as we try to be obedient to You. And we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.